Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday, a couple days away from the Packers taking off to Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Browns in week three, a showdown that will feature Aaron Banks along the offensive line, the newly acquired guard saying he's playing no matter what. However, the status and availability of one Tucker Kraft suddenly in question after Kraft suffered a knee injury during practice this afternoon. That's to various reports. I believe Ian Rappaport was first on it. Schneidman and Domofsky adding reporting afterwards. He'll have tests done. They don't think it's long-term or a long-term problem. But the fact that he was added to the injury report as a limited participant with said knee injury certainly tells you that his availability for Sunday is now in question. And hey, we've talked many times already this season and certainly throughout the offseason about the opportunity for Luke Musgrave to take that step to get more playing time, to stay on the field, which he has done so far. And now, more than ever, he will be called upon to not only produce in the offense as a receiver, but to step up his game along the trenches as a blocker. You have to think part of the plan when dealing with Myles Garrett and company involves tight end help along those tackles, offensive line, maybe even perhaps in the backfield as a move guy. Here's an opportunity for you to show your worth, show your mettle, as it were. You know, this season is long and it stops for no one. Little knee injury to the tight end that doesn't sound serious ain't going to stop this train, ladies and gentlemen. Still got to go into Cleveland and take care of business. That's part and parcel with the NFL, man. Look around the league. Everybody's already banged up as hell. And once again, we run into the idea of, hey, that week five bye not looking like a bad thing at all. Bye almost always arrives at a good spot because once you start playing football, your team is going to get banged up. It's very rare that you're not. So absolutely sucks to have Tucker hurt. No question about it. I'm not trying to minimize it. But man, as Matt LaFleur is fond of saying, no one's going to feel sorry for you. No one outside of your building cares. Cleveland Browns sure ain't going to care. So it's next man up, and that man is Luke Musgrave. Here's hoping he and Fitzpatrick and maybe Ben Sims is finally active if Tucker can't go. That trio should be able to get some work in, both up front and as receivers. I wouldn't suspect that they would change the usage of the tight end as far as putting multiple tight ends out on the field from time to time. We'll see how they adjust. We'll see what the actual, you know, prognosis is for Kraft. Hopefully sooner rather than later. I would suspect we'll have something probably by tomorrow afternoon. In the meantime, on the flip side, on the good part, the good news when it comes to the injury report is Micah Parsons is no longer on it, no longer featured as a member of said injury report. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time to let Micah Parsons hunt. And I know there has already been, and we think we talked about this the other day, you know, questions about, well, you know, maybe wait till the bye week till we really let him go full tilt. And look, they're already performing so well with limited snaps from Micah Parsons. Why push him to play more, especially if he's been coming off a back issue and et cetera? Man, you gave up a boatload of money and picks to go get this premier talent. You want it on the field. And he wants to be on the field. He's a football player. He wants to play football. He wants to dominate. He wants to blow up the game the same way we've seen Myles Garrett do it. He's going to line up over these tackles, either one, really, and he's going to go to town, and he's going to be hunting Joe Flacco and maybe Dylan Gabriel if it gets to that. I'm very excited to see Parsons play a full game in a Packers uniform, something we have not yet seen. And I am equally interested to see if he keeps, you know, being deployed as a bit of a chess piece across the front. If you watched Packer transplants yesterday, I pulled that clip of Chris Long talking about how he would prefer they would line him up strictly over a tackle and let him get to work. And, you know, Chris admitted that might be the former edge rusher in him coming out. I really like the approach they've taken so far, putting him up and down the line, specifically because if you have a quarterback like Joe Flacco, who is, you know, an aged vet who's seen it all, done it all, knows you're not going to fool him coverage-wise. You know, certainly he's going to put the ball in jeopardy. He's Joe Flacco. That's what he does. But pre-snap, he's going to have a good bead on what he's looking at, even post-snap. But man, you can wreck a blocking scheme even if he sets it pre-snap because, oh, well, you know, our plan was to help the tackles. Now here he is in the A-gap trying to take advantage of our center and guard. One of their guards, Tino, I believe, was not practicing today. So potential backup playing there. Man, just let Micah hunt all across that front. Don't give them a bead on where he's going to be. Don't let them plan to set their protection, to give the help each and every down. Keep them guessing. Keep them working. Make them work pre-snap as much as post-snap. I love what they've done so far with Micah. I want to see more of it. I want to see him on early downs. Can't wait to see him blowing up run plays just as well as pass plays, hunting, you know, mistakes to Joe Flacco, either putting him on the ground or hurrying him enough that he's throwing it to our guys. That's what a full tilt Micah Parsons is going to give you, and it starts on Sunday. I cannot wait. You know, maybe the offense doesn't march up and down the field the way we hope without Tucker Kraft. Fine. So we only have to score 23 rather than 30. I'm down with it. I am ready for a fully armed and operational Micah Parsons with the Packers defense. That's where I'm at, ladies and gentlemen. Where are you guys at? Good to see you all. Everyone already mixing it up. How are we all doing? Good to see all the super chats lining up, chats, all the platforms. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Before we get going, you guys know we got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Every great team needs a solid foundation, and that starts with health. ThetaCare is proud to support their local athletes and families with care that goes the distance.
Expertise follows inspiration. That's why more than a dozen of the nation's top cardiovascular specialists have chosen ThetaCare as their destination to deliver exceptional care. By infusing local care with new expertise throughout ThetaCare, we're creating a healthier future for all. Meet the experts at ThetaCare.org/heart.
All right, folks, let's get to your comments and questions, starting with Tommy Phillips. What's up, man? And thanks for joking with me before we went live. Appreciate you. Bob Harlan should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You get no argument from me, man. He essentially saved the franchise by keeping Lambeau Field a going concern back in 2003, having to go door to door to, you know, basically drum up enough positive energy and positive responses to the referendum, the Brown County tax referendum, that did not pass with, you know, a huge margin. There was great resistance to it. Harlan worked his ass off, literally going door to door with people, answering the phone each and every day on his own, calling local leaders, working with local politicians. And without the man, the Packers, as we know them, I'm not going to say they wouldn't be in Green Bay, but as we know the Packers currently, it would not exist. And nothing that has come after that 2003 referendum would be the same. And that's even just on the business and survival of the Packers side. You talk about a football decision to hire Ron Wolf and get the fuck out of the way. Hire the man and let him run football operations. Smartest decision that had been made at that point since Lombardi retired. You know, that you can't be overstated how important Bob Harlan is. And that's why I always talk about, whenever anyone talks about, you know, who the Packers Mount Rushmore, people are always talking about players. And of course, players are the lifeblood of the game. And I don't mean to give them short shrift in any way, shape, or form. But you can't have a Packers Mount Rushmore if you're truly talking, trying to make that exercise a thing. You can't have it without Bob Harlan because they don't exist in their current form without him. And none of the 90s setting the path of the last 30 years, none of that happens. You know, Favre, Rodgers doesn't happen. Ted's not in town. Like, none of it happens without Harlan. Can't overstate how important he is to the Packers organization and, you know, to the outside of it, the league-wide aspect of growing the game, one of the premier franchises, one of the most historic franchises, to utilize that to revitalize it the way the NFL has certainly benefited from the way the narrative and the thread of, you know, the smallest, greatest story in sports, as Cliff Kristol has called it. You know, this great growth in the NFL, along with the smallest professional franchise in any professional sport. You can't deny Harlan's greatness. You just can't. Don Vito, what's up? Back to current events. Tucker, God damn it. Guys get hurt, man. I don't know what to tell you. I know people get upset. I know people get frustrated, etc. Man, they practice and they play football. The guys get hurt. Guys are going to get hurt. More guys are going to get hurt this year. Guys have already been hurt. You got to adjust. That is part of the gig when it comes to a 17-game plus playoffs season. Navigating moments like this. The best teams do it. And the Packers are one of those teams. They will do everything they can. They have positioned themselves as well as they can. And they will overcome it and beat the Browns. That's it. That's all you can do. Rick Ward, what's up, man? Hope coach is showing tape against the Chiefs 2011 every day. I like it. I like it. I would prefer, I was thinking about this the other day, I would prefer he showed tape from the playoff game against the Texans. And yes, the Browns have been in the playoffs of recent vintage, a couple years ago. Man, Bobby Slowick took apart Jim Schwartz that afternoon. I believe late afternoon, early evening. Tons of condensed formations. We know Jim Schwartz loves man coverage, loves to bump and run. And Slowick just absolutely toasted him all game long. Lots of condensed stuff, not allowing the defensive backs to get up on the wide receivers and then using, you know, tons of mesh, tons of crossing routes. Man, he just went to town on Schwartz that afternoon. And Stroud played a great game. It's really crazy to see what's happened to him, but he played a wonderful game 2 years ago in that playoff game. That's the game I keep coming back to when thinking about how to take apart Jim Schwartz, because you can't run on this team, right? You're going to have to throw the ball. But if you spread it out, they invite that, you know? Keep it condensed. Make it tough. Lots of motion. Keep those defensive backs off your wide receivers at the line of scrimmage, and you can make some hay. That's what I'm looking for. Porkmaster, what's up, man? Will Joe Flacco live to see Monday? Half joking. I'll tell you what, man. Now that they're, you know, Bettino is hurt, who knows? Like, look, their tackles are turnstiles. Holy shit. And, like, you hear that and you think it and you're like, okay, yeah, they struggled, let's say, against the Ravens. No. Like, both weeks, you watch those tackles. Holy cow. Talk about Micah Parsons, Sean Gary, LVN. Everybody who's anybody lining up outside is going to have, like, I don't know, sensory overload for how they can beat these guys. There's probably lots of tape on these guys getting embarrassed that they've been studying and hoping to take advantage of in a similar way. And now, obviously, the Browns will try everything they can to mitigate that. To help with tight ends, chips, quick passes, screens, whatever. But at some point, it's going to be third and long, and they're going to have to drop back and pass. And holy cow, it's going to be a feeding frenzy. I can't wait. Relax. What's up, man? Bears still suck. This feels like a obligation at this point. Don't feel obligated, but I love that every chat we get. Relax saying Bears still suck, because you're right. They do still suck. You're not wrong. Cheeto, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Packers will win the game if they win the game. Lose the game if they lose the game. You know, that's the kind of analysis and really deep dive into the X's and O's that we've come to expect here at Cheesehead TV. No doubt about it. Rick Harris, what's up, man? Thank God Packers get O-line right. They do more often than not, but, you know, nobody's infallible. I mean, look no further than the selection of Josh Myers instead of Creed Humphrey. But you are correct, more often than not, and they do a very good job of growing their offensive line for the most part. Now, obviously, Aaron Banks is an outside addition, but for the most part, throughout their, especially recent history, this last couple decades, they've made an emphasis of growing their own. And it has served them well. And they've certainly shown to have an eye for talent and an eye for development at all of the five positions. So, yeah, there's little doubt that they are one of the better teams in the league, especially when you look at the way they lost two offensive linemen in week one, and the offense really didn't skip a beat. I mean, juxtapose that with what you've seen around the league. I was talking to Corey about this on Transplants. Look at that Texans game the other night. You know, man, they lost a couple linemen and it was over. Stroud turned into a pumpkin. You know, it is not a given that if you have to play backups that you're going to be able to operate, let alone succeed. And more often than not, especially, I will give LaFleur and his crew credit, man, especially under LaFleur, Stenovich, and Butkus. More often than not, they've got guys in the hopper who can step in, and they don't have to change much in the way of the operation or the approach on offense. That's a big, big kudos to them. Ed, what's up, man? I got nothing. Hopefully nothing is what the Browns will put up on the scoreboard. Man, could you imagine if they went into Cleveland and just blanked them? Completely just shut them down and they didn't even get a field goal? In this day and age, that'd be insane. I'd love it, though. Come on now. Don Vito. The Bears are the dynasty Patriots of the offseason. I love it. Jim, yes, Goody gets a ton of credit. Goody and the whole personnel staff. Supplying and having the eye for the type of guys that they know they can bring in-house and develop. Now, again, nobody's infallible, you know, but yes, more often than not. The Browns should have drafted Baker Mayfield. Johnny, you might be onto something there. You know, it's funny, and this is true, and it's been long enough that I can tell this story now. I remember when that draft was happening, Elliot Wolf was in Cleveland, and he wasn't the one making the decision, but he was on the hierarchy. And I had this running joke on Twitter, because anytime they mentioned Baker Mayfield, I would say QB1, because he was my favorite quarterback in that draft. And finally, he started texting me about it. He's like, you know what? I feel the exact same way. He's the toughest guy. There's something great about him. He's such a competitor, blah, blah, blah. And then they took him. And I remember that was a bit of a surprise at the time. But, you know, I always remember that, you know, Elliot liked him, but, you know, he wasn't in charge. So it was great that they still got the pick. And that's when he took Derek May or Drake May, I thought, okay, he's probably hit on another one. And it looks like he has. But we'll see. But at least he's in charge this time. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? Any news on Tucker Nags? Fingers crossed. It's not like box practice knee injury. Go Pack Go. Mike, Eeyore, settle down. I understand that's where everybody's head goes, but all the reporting around it, at least initially, says it's not a long-term concern. And that's all we know. Going to have some patience and wait for the tests to be done. They're doing testing today. So maybe we get some information tonight. Hell, it might come out in a couple hours here. Or maybe we get it tomorrow. But again, all the initial reports say not a long-term concern. But that could mean, yeah, he might miss a couple weeks. Could miss these next two games, and they have the bye week, and then he's back for the Bengals game. That would be my initial guess, you know? Not really knowing how serious it is or anything like that. That's, you know, probably, I want to say best-case scenario, because obviously the best-case scenario is he plays on Sunday. But I would be surprised if he does. But we're going to have just a little patience. Porkmaster, thanks again, man. If the Browns know one thing, it's quarterbacks. I don't know. If you take a look here on the channel, I clipped something from Ahead of the Pack, our new podcast with Camille and the guys. And Camille, so good. She was like, you can place a bet on whether I believe it's on CBS, the CBS broadcast, or maybe it's on Fox because they're doing that switch now. The broadcast will undoubtedly at some point on Sunday highlight the fact that the Packers have had like what, three quarterbacks while the Browns have had 50 or whatever the number is. Crazy, man. Just crazy. CJ, what's up? Do you see us adding a tight end to the room if Kraft injury keeps him out for some weeks? I doubt it. I would suspect they'll roll with the crew they have, Musgrave, Fitzpatrick, and Sims. I'm not going to say it's impossible. I know I saw Packers legend Messiah Swinson was just signed somewhere, so they won't be able to pick him up. But, you know, I'm not going to say, again, that they never would or never will, but I would think, my guess would be, they'll roll with what they've got. Don't forget, Sims hasn't even played. He's been inactive these first 2 weeks, right? So they just make him active and roll with the three guys they got. That, again, that would be my guess. But we'll see. Don Vito, thanks again, man. I'm sure you spoke on this previously. Unless the Packers get some wild return, trading Malik Willis should be off the table. Oh, yeah. No, they're not trading Malik Willis, especially this year. You know, he's in the last year of his deal. He'll hit free agency and most likely find a pretty good deal somewhere, and that will give the Packers a decent comp pick in return. I can't imagine anyone would offer anything more than the comp pick they would get if he does walk and signs elsewhere. So, yeah, that's pretty much a non-story for me. Javier, who wins tonight? Everyone who doesn't watch, we're already there. The Dolphins are a mess, man. The Dolphins are a mess. Hey, but here's a fun fact. Joe Barry is on that defensive staff, so you could watch how many times the linebackers line up, you know, pass the sticks and allow guys to catch the ball for a first down before rallying and tackling, if you're really into that sort of thing. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. I am seeing the defensive line keeping the linebackers clean. That's a lot of it. I need to see some turnovers, but I cannot complain. Random Packer, Dick Modzelewski. I think the idea of, you know, more turnovers is something that's been permeating and percolating, so to speak, in the locker room. I've heard a couple guys mention it now. I know Javon Bullard was on one of the local news channels talking about it. And certainly they've got the interception in week one, right? And they came, I'm not going to say close to picking Daniels off, but they certainly were around the ball quite a bit. But yeah, you would like to see a turnover or two, you know, throughout the next couple weeks. Certainly Joe Flacco is going to throw you one or two. You got to hold on to it. That's what they used to say about Brett, right? He's going to throw a couple to you. You got to hang on to them. Take advantage. Don't forget, or what was it, week one? Quay Walker had his hands on what should have been an interception. Hang on to the gifts, man. Hang on to the ones they throw you. Patience, we do not do that here. Fair point. Mike, thanks again. Nags, the 2014 NFC Championship game made me a lifelong Eeyore. Sorry, not sorry. I understand, man. Can't change your nature. I get it. Dennis, how are you, man? How much does the defense employ their four-man front this game? Random Packer, Bob Stinson. That's some old school stuff. Their four-man front? Probably quite a bit. And I know they've done some condensed stuff with three up front, and they've had guys up and down on the edge, but I would suspect you'll see quite a bit of a four-man front as a rotation, obviously. You're not going to have the same four guys throughout the game, but I suspect they're going to want to get a little bit wider there, let Parsons, Gary, Lucas Van Ness, etc., get upfield and get after these tackles. So yeah, I don't think you'll see a ton of, you know, I don't even call it exotic looks, but change-up looks up front. Brad, thanks for the super chat, man. I was at the game that Mayfield came off the bench here in Cleveland and won that free beer game. Good times. Free beer game? I don't know this lore, but that sounds amazing. We need a free beer game at Lambeau. No, they would run out of beer, obviously. But that sounds amazing. Rick Harris, fire Joe Barry. Didn't we already do that? Portmaster, what's up? Jeff Hafley saved my life. See, now there's another great t-shirt idea for the Packers to shoot down. That sounds fun. Isaiah, what's up, man? Why would Jeff Hafley leave after getting Micah and having the best D in the NFL? They want him to be a head coach now. Well, they, I think, is the narrative, right? There's certainly discussion. I know Fowler put it out there in his ESPN piece earlier this week that he is on some people's lists, i.e. or short lists, for at least getting an interview, right? He only got one last year, and that was with the Jets, who interviewed essentially everybody. But I suspect, yeah, he'll get interviews. Now, whether he gets hired or not, I don't know. But he'll certainly get some interest with the way he's turned this defense around. To your question, you know, why would he leave? It's a head coaching gig. There's only 32 of them, and it's in the peak of the profession. I mean, yeah, he's doing wonders in Green Bay, and they're balling out. And if hopefully they win a Super Bowl, it would be great. But man, to run your own shop? Now, not everybody's the same, obviously. Ben Johnson had suitors up the wazoo for years and turned them all down and stuck in Detroit until he picked the Bears, which is turning out to be fucking hilarious. But, you know, he could go that route, right? To your point, say, I got a great gig here. We're kicking ass. Got my Micah Parsons cheat code. Like, we're good. Maybe he goes that route. But more often than not, you get the opportunity to run your own shop. You take it. You're a football coach. He's a football lifer. That's the dream for most guys. Again, not every single one, but most of them. Yeah, you want your own, run your own gig. Yeah, you don't get to take Micah Parsons with you, but it's your job, your program. The opportunity to usually turn a team around. It's a great challenge, man. These guys are all about challenges and etching their name in history as the one who did it, you know? Some of it's ego and some of it's just opportunity. What else we got here, folks? Andrew, what's up? Eventually, the emphasis on turnovers creates them. Let's hope so. I mean, there's tons of teams that talk about emphasizing turnovers that never do it. We'll see. They usually do come in bunches, too. So hopefully that starts on Sunday. Mike, thanks again. Curious if McAfee still thinks Goody is not smart. I know he had a bit of a mea culpa at one point, I think 2 years ago. He never really apologized, though, for calling Goody unintelligent or not smart or questioning his intelligence or saying that he was a bad general manager or intimating that, etc. He never really went full in on that. He, you know, of course I don't think he's unintelligent. Of course I don't think he's not smart. Okay, well, it isn't what you said, Pat, in any way, shape, or form. So he never really gave an apology for it, but he kind of skirted around it. Whatever. Who cares? I mean, it just proves that Goody was way, way better than he gave him credit for. Cheeto, what's up, man? This will be the Josh Jacobs, Matthew Golden heavy screen game. Also, I was commenting Mike McDaniel with the Australian wisdom. Aristotle. Screens. I like the idea, but Myles Garrett can wreck your screen game. The man has recognition and speed, two things that'll hurt you in the screen game, especially for a team that doesn't blitz a ton. Like, of course, there's pressure. He will send pressure at times, and he being Jim Schwartz. But, man, they're a team that wants to play four-man front, two high safeties, play man underneath, and let their front get after it. Hard to screen a four-man rush, you know, on, you know, a consistent basis. Maybe you catch them every once in a while, but yeah. And again, yeah, if you're doing it, you better be doing it away from Myles Garrett. And even then, he can close ground pretty damn quick. And his recognition, again, is so good. Once he sees it setting up, man, he's abandoning whatever he was supposed to be doing and going after your back. So, yeah, I mean, great idea in theory, but tougher to actually do with some consistency. But again, maybe they hit one at the right time. That's a possibility. Sons of Lombardi, how are you, man? Good to see you. Not only do the Bears still suck, so does Leinenkugel's. Carry the G for life, Cheesehead World Order. Man, yeah, the Leinenkugel's thing is truly unfortunate. And I actually had someone back home that I was on a phone call with 2 days ago. Haven't talked to this person in a very long time and was very excited to hear from them. And the first thing they said was like, what the fuck is up with Leinenkugel's? So the word is obviously out. Just make sure. When in doubt, make sure you get yourself the ice cold Carry the G cream ale.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be. So cream and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
You know what I'm saying? Except no substitute. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and relax. Take a breath. Tucker Kraft's going to be all right. He'll be back out there trucking fools and scoring touchdowns sooner rather than later. Take a breath. Just think about Packers domination on Sunday. All right, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow to wrap things up on the week, and we'll have watch party on Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll see you then. Go Pack, go.